give you all the glory and pray you bless this word to our hearts. Open our understanding to receive what heaven is trying to say at this time in our church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Today's message is very pointed. It's going to be brief, but I hope you get it, and I hope you pay attention through the whole message. Very simple word, but I believe really, really from the throne of heaven. It's called, Don't Waste God's Grace. Don't waste God's grace. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Ephesians 2, and then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 as well. In the Word of God, Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 9. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. For it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Look at this verse. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. So let's say those words with me. The riches. God's riches, the grace of God, are His riches, expressed in His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For again, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 for a moment, just one verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he was having at different times in his life to defend his ministry. Because there were people who were coming to the church to try to bring division. There were people who were jealous. How many of you know when you're doing something good for God, sometimes the enemy gets jealous? And sometimes he'll send people to just get up in your face or to try to annoy you or irritate you or throw you off your track. But Paul was very wise, and here's what he says to all of his detractors. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I want to say that again. By the grace of God, I am what I am. But here's the secret. But His grace towards me was not without effect. In other words, His grace in my life was effective. I cooperated with it. It worked. I paid attention to it. I allowed it to accomplish what God wanted it to accomplish. In other words, Paul the Apostle could say, I did not waste the grace of God. I hope there's no one here today who is wasting the grace of God. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I. Again, he's very careful to say, this is not about me, it's about God's grace that was with me, but me paying attention to God's grace and allowing God's grace to do the work it's supposed to do and me cooperating with it. That's a wonderful balance. Yes, it is. Yes. It's not about our human effort. Does it take human effort to live for God? Yes, it does. Yes. Does it take discipline to get up in the morning and pray? And does it take discipline to answer kindly when somebody is trying to provoke you? Does it take grace to be forgiving and sweet to somebody who's been nasty to you? It takes a lot of grace. But we can't take credit for it. Because God is operating in His grace to make us what we ought to be. We're not saved because we decided to be saved. We're saved because God chose us to be saved. We're saved because God has a divine design for our life. Lest any man should boast. By grace we're saved. Through faith. Not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. God's grace is a gift. The word grace means gift. So we're saved because God decided to reach out to us. We're saved because God had you in mind when He was dying on the cross. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing we can boast about and say, I earned this. I deserve to be saved. I'm better than so and so. We're all sinners saved by grace. But that grace came with a very heavy cost. to give us that kind of love, to give us that kind of freedom. As Pastor Angela was mentioning just a moment ago, the Son of God had to hang for 6 hours bleeding and dying on the cross. Despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But it was not for his own sins that he paid a penalty. It was our sins. For he was the spotless Lamb of God. What a price he paid to give us his grace. Grace may bring freedom, but grace is not free. It costs God something. Jesus paid a price that I could not pay. Jesus paid a penalty that I could never pay. Somebody say amen. Amen. God's amazing grace. Favor from God. Receiving from him that which we did not earn or deserve. God's riches given to us in Christ. The riches of his grace in Christ. So when you have Christ in your life, you have riches. That's why the song says, let the poor man say, I am rich. And in Corinthians, Paul the Apostle says, you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though he was rich, because he was with the Father in heaven forever and ever. How many of you know, in the Trinity, there is no lack. In heaven, there's no lack. There's no bill collector in heaven. God has everything he needs. So, but though he was rich, yet for our sake, he became what? For our sake, he became poor. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He even washed his disciples' feet. He came to serve humanity. He emptied himself. He poured all of the riches of his love upon us. Are you with me today? When his blood was flowing down on the cross, somebody put it in these words so beautifully. Love and sorrow mingled together. Think about that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, looking up to the Father, experiencing all the sin of the world on his body, that pure, spotless Lamb of God that had never, ever known sin, ever, in all eternity, now on the cross being crushed by sin. Being smothered by sin. Sorrow and love. Don't ever despise the grace of God. Don't ever trivialize the gift of God to you. Hallelujah. The price he paid cannot be described. We were not redeemed with corruptible things, the Bible says, such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. The precious blood of the Lamb. God's riches given to us in Christ, even in our worst condition, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's try to put this in a more, how would you say, up-to-date explanation, or maybe different way of explaining what God's grace means. It's like oversleeping on the morning of an important job interview, and your heart is beating like 1,000 miles a minute, and all of a sudden you get a text and you find out that the interview was postponed. That's grace. Or students waking up one morning and realizing, oh my gosh, I didn't study for the final exam. And then getting a text to say from the teacher or from somebody and saying the exam has been rescheduled for a week later. Grace is being given another chance to redo your life. It's more important than a test that you take at school. God allows a second chance. God allows a redo when you love Jesus. When you allow Jesus to come into your life. Grace is being born again into a royal family. But in Christ Jesus, we who were strangers, we were enemies of God. We were estranged, separated because of our sins, have been brought near. We are now members of the household of faith. We are God's kids. Grace allows us to be reborn into a royal family. Jesus Christ, the elder brother. God, my Father. And then we get to sit at his table. When we come to communion, I always tell people, imagine yourself sitting at his table. That's grace. I don't deserve it. The riches of divine grace are eternal. Money can't buy them, and death cannot take them away.
Yes, that's right.
By grace, we are redeemed. We are reconciled and freed from the power of sin. Can you say amen?
Amen.
However you define it, however you describe it, God's grace is truly amazing. The famous song, Amazing Grace, was written by a man named John Newton. Many of you have seen the movie. There's actually a movie about his life called Amazing Grace. He was actually a man who was a terrible person, a drunkard and a wild, carousing type of person, and actually became a slave trader, was involved in trafficking human lives for many years. He was involved with the slave trade in Great Britain. But he had a revelation of God one time in the middle of a storm on sea. His life was transformed as he realized that God loved even him. As miserable as he considered himself, and he considered himself the worst sinner, because you read his life story later on, you'll find out how much he regretted his past sins. But nevertheless, God chose him. He became a minister in the Church of England. And later on wrote this wonderful song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. And that song can be every one of our testimony. Everyone. You weren't in the slave business, you know, or the human trafficking business. But every one of our sins could have kept us from heaven. But he paid the price that I could not pay. Hallelujah. This is something you don't find in any of the other religions of the world. Listen, my friend, all over the world right now, as we're sitting here, people are placing their faith in religious systems that cannot clear their conscience.
That's true. Yeah.
They put their trust in false prophets and religions that are rooted in fear. Millions of people are enslaved by rituals that cannot relieve their fears, remove their guilt, or save their souls. There are even people who will literally torture themselves. You probably have seen this in some of the pagan rituals around the world. People will put needles and chains around their body. They'll put things through their mouth and their cheeks, the pins, and to do all kinds of things to try to torture themselves. They'll beat themselves with chains and whips to somehow please God, somehow appease God for their sins. When Jesus already paid the full price for our redemption. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. What a difference with Christianity.
Yes, that's right.
We're invited to come boldly before God's throne of grace.
Yes.
Hebrews 4:14-16. I believe we have it on the screen. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold on to the faith we profess. Don't let anybody steal your faith. Don't let anybody rip you off today. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or empathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Are you struggling with discouragement? Are you struggling today with temptation? Jesus knew what that felt like. In order for him to be a faithful and sincere and empathetic priest, he had to experience our humanity. He was tested, tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not give in to sin. I love this part. Let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I don't know about you, but there's been times when my back has been against the wall. And all I know how to pray is, God save me. God save me. Jesus help me. Jesus help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't know where to begin. If I were to begin to tell you my life story, we would be here all day. But I can tell you there have been strategic times in my life where I was running in the wrong direction. I was filled with myself. I was filled with pride. I was filled with lust. I was filled with sin. And God took me and took me out of that mud. Somebody say amen. He took me out of that pit, took me out of the pit that I was in. He put my feet on solid ground. That's grace. That's grace. There's so many stories of amazing grace. People have been transformed. Mary Magdalene in the Bible had seven demons. How many of you know that would not look good on her resume? What has been your experience? Well, I had seven demons, and then Jesus cast them out. An employer may be a tad skeptical to hire you at that point. But seriously, look at what Jesus did. I mean, she became the woman who was the first one to see him resurrected. She was the first person to see him after his resurrection. He was so concerned about her that he made sure he comforted her. He said, Mary, it's me. I'm not the gardener. I'm not a ghost. It's me. The comfort that his grace, even through his death and resurrection, he says to Mary, he says, go tell my disciples and Peter. Why did he say and Peter? Because Peter had just denied him, and Peter felt like he had flunked out. Yeah. I have failed. I've messed up. Yeah. I'm out of it. There's no way Jesus would even look at me again. So he tells him, he says, I've got to talk to Peter. I've got to bring him back. Aren't you glad? The Bible says we fall down seven times, but God picks us up more than seven times. Hallelujah. Somebody give God some praise in the house. Saul of Tarsus, full of hate, persecuting Christians, even participating in a death sentence, becomes Paul the Apostle, wrote more books than anybody else in the New Testament. And in our text we read today, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Can you imagine the regrets that he could have been haunted by regrets? Have you ever been haunted by a mistake? I've smacked myself a few times like, oh, dummy, what did you do? Why did you say that? Well, you could have done this better. You could have, and sometimes you beat yourself up for months and years. But God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. Bring your burden to the Lord. Bring your heartaches. Bring your failures. Bring your sorrows. He will turn your sorrow into joy. Give it all to Jesus. Hallelujah. Give it all to Jesus. He will turn your sorrow into joy. I am what I am by the grace of God. As Christians, we tend to think about grace mostly as it relates to our salvation. But you know what? Grace is active in our entire Christian development. All the way till the time God carries you home. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We're developed by grace. We're matured by grace. And we're carried home by grace. His grace has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. The riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. Where are you stuck today? God has grace for that. You know, the world will say there's an app for that. But God says there's grace for that. The world wants to have an app for everything. I don't use my apps. Somebody who's in my age group, say amen. My wife does. I know. That's what happens when you marry a young woman. But I keep telling myself there's grace for that. Feel bummed out? You feel down on yourself? You feel like you always keep messing up? You feel like no matter how many times you pray, this one particular prayer is just so hard and that person just never seems to want to change? God says there's grace for that. Paul kept getting afflicted by this affliction in his body. Some people said it was an eye condition. Other people says it was a demon that was trying to afflict him or bother him or harass him. We really don't know exactly what his thorn in the flesh was. But we know it was real. Because he prayed three times, said, Lord, please, you know, get this away from me, whatever this is. And the Lord says, Paul, I'm with you. My grace is sufficient for your need. God's grace is sufficient. Whether he delivers you out of it or he delivers you through it, God will not leave you and he will not forsake you. Hallelujah. God will not leave you and not forsake you. I like the way the Voice translation says, throughout the coming ages, this is Ephesians 2:7, in the paraphrase, throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness. We are trophies of God's grace. God is going to hold us up, going to say, this is my son. Look at him. Look at what I did with this young man. Amen. I've told the worship team, I don't know, God's just given me freedom to say some things this morning, but I've told the worship team, you're doing a wonderful ministry because you're helping us to get closer to God. Simple. Give it up for our worship team. Think about that. They're helping us to get closer to God. Wow, that's a good ministry. But God looks at all of us. You know, you may think of yourself as, you know, not a real, what you call it, like a great achiever. You know, you're not an overachiever. You may feel like yourself like you really fall behind in so many things, but God doesn't look at you that way. He looks at you as His dear son, His daughter. He not only loves you, but He likes you. Somebody say, God likes me. Because of the riches of His grace, we will be a visible display in the ages to come of the infinite riches of His grace. We're saved by grace. We're sustained by grace. We're healed by grace. Some of you are here this morning and you have emotional scars. I believe in my heart this morning the Holy Spirit is prompting me to say there are some of you struggling with depression and anxiety. I want you to hear what God says. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon Him. He took our punishment. And by His wounds, one more time, by His wounds, I am healed. Hallelujah. That's grace. We're set free from condemnation. The devil comes back even after you've been saved. Even after you've been saved for years, he'll try to come back with, what about this? And you failed here, and you should be ashamed of this. But in Romans, the Word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the spirit of sin and death. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're set free from condemnation and the power of sin. You know what? You've been given talents by grace.
Yes, that's right.
In 1 Peter, it says each one of us has been given a gift, a charis. Charis is a gift, a grace. And you can't say, well, I don't have any gifts. Everybody has one. The Bible says so. I'm not sure what your gift is, but everybody has gifts that can be developed. Whether it's administration or teaching or prayer or intercession, or it might be helps or encouragement. There's so many gifts. And even outside of the church building, there's things you can do in the workplace to show your light for Jesus and to show your love for Him.
Amen.
Talents that God gives us, don't waste them.
Amen.
Somebody say, don't waste the grace. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, don't waste the grace.
Don't waste the grace.
Turn to your other neighbor. Don't waste the grace.
Don't waste the grace.
God's investing in you. God's counting on you.
Yes. Yes.
Philippians 2:13 says God is at work within us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's a good definition of grace. God shows up every morning at the gym, 7 a.m., well, what's an early time for some of you? Some of you get up at 6. How many of you get up at 6? How many get up at 5? How many get up at 3 in the morning? I don't know about you, but I'm sleeping. The reason I'm mentioning that, we had two guys when we were building the church in Valley Stream, Long Island. My wife's dad was the pastor there for 32 years. In 1978, we laid the cornerstone for the church, and that beautiful building is still there.
Amen.
But there were two guys who were on the part of the church who were on the construction team, and so they were going to, one morning they agreed they were going to put a fence up. So these were really macho guys, you know, construction guys. I would call them, like down here, we call them rednecks, you know. So one guy says, all right, I'll meet you there at 6 in the morning. He goes, what? That's late, he says. I'm already up an hour. I'll meet you there at 5. Oh, yeah, he said. The other guy goes, I'll meet you there at 4. So by the time they were through, I think they were there all night long. I mean, one guy said two, the other guy said three in the morning. I'm like, come on, we're not trying to prove anything. But what I'm saying is this, getting back to my gym story, God is waiting, showing up. He's a great coach. Do you ever meet somebody who had to hire a trainer? Okay. I hired a trainer. Now I'm going to be, everything's going to be all, no, you still have to do the work. They're just going to come alongside and yell at you. You're going to pay them to yell at you. Hallelujah. It's like that guy on the radio, you know, some things you just don't use our heads. And the guy on the radio says, send me $100 and lose all the weight you want. Send me $100 and you can lose all the weight you want. I mean, like, what? Why should I send you $100? Anyway, so God is showing up. Yeah, maybe he has some good advice. I'm just kind of kidding around. Yeah, your wallet will be lighter. That's a good one, Angel. All right. Here's the thing. God shows up every morning. He says, I've got all the pieces of your life. I'm going to train you. I'm going to be your coach. I'm going to be the author and the finisher of your faith. I want you to get deeper with me. I want you to get more real. I want you to work on the growing edges of your life. What is the edge of your life, the part of your life that's stuck right now? What's the part of your life? Is it resentment? Is it past regrets? Is it a lack of faith? Is it even just feeling down on yourself? God wants to bring grace to that place where you're supposed to be growing, the growing edge of your life. Because the Bible says, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. Keep growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I close this morning, I want to ask this question. Are all of us living in the full measure of the grace of God? Or are we unaware of the fact that the devil has been robbing from us? How many of you know he's a thief? The thief comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All right? So don't let the thief steal from you. Remember, there's grace for that. And grace doesn't just mean getting off scot-free. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, that grace means you just get off the hook. You don't have to do anything. Paul said, I worked harder than the rest of them. Not I, but the grace of God was in there working with me. So God is like a world-class coach who's champion, who's training an Olympic athlete.
That's right.
You guys are world-class Christian citizens. And God is training. You might say, God, why are you asking me to do more pull-ups? Why are you asking me to do more push-ups? I can't lift this weight. And God says, don't you realize? You're training for the gold medal. Hallelujah. You're training for a crown of righteousness. You're training for to bring eternal souls into heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're making our treasures, laying our treasures in heaven. Don't let the enemy rob that activity, that interaction between the grace of God. I love the way Paul said. He says, not I, but the grace of God in me. Yet I labored more abundantly, but the grace of God was helping me because I was working, cooperating with God's grace. The paraphrase of that scripture says, but God's kindness made me what I am. And that kindness was not wasted. Has God's kindness towards you been wasted? The Bible says that the goodness of God is supposed to lead us to repentance. How many times has God forgiven us? How many times has God given us another chance? Don't let it be wasted. If God's been pleading with you to change, if God's been pleading with you to get your heart open, to forgive, to get deeper with Him, to get more intimate with Christ, please, please, please hear my heart this morning. Don't let the grace of God be wasted. That kindness towards me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles, although it was not really my own doing, but God's grace working with me. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful arrangement, a relationship. So fulfill the calling on your life. Become fruitful to God. Rely on His grace. Don't ignore it. One last warning in Hebrews chapter 12. This is the Phillips translation. You won't see it on the screen. It says this: be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. Hebrews 12:15. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. What I'm trying to say is I've been around church long enough to know that there's some bitter people in the church that actually poisoned the whole church. Because there was grace available to them to forgive an offense. Somebody in the church offended them. And then other people got offended. And before you know it, they're taking sides. And God said, wait a minute. There's grace here to forgive. There's grace for this. If you give me a chance, I'll help you to work through this. I'll help you to forgive. But they refuse. They resist. And when you refuse God and you resist God, you become a bitter person. And that bitterness is not just poison to you. Then it starts to affect the people around, your spouse, your family, and even in the church. Another translation says, make sure you watch over each other that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. And make sure that no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will cause trouble to them and poison the hearts of many. If there's someone here today, no matter how hard it's been, no matter what you've had to face, God is saying to you today, there's grace for it. There's grace to either get you out of it or get you through it. But either way, don't go through life alone. Take the hand of Jesus. Let Him love on you. Don't be so hard. Don't say to yourself, well, I've got to be strong. I've got to be manly. I've got to be this. I've got to be that. No, no, no. We're all little kids when it comes to God. Unless you become converted and be like a little child, the Bible says you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to humble ourselves like little children in order to be delivered. Would you stand with me today? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord warns us, don't waste my grace. Don't waste my grace. The grace of God appears, it says in Titus, to all men, teaching us to turn away from ungodliness and to live godly, spiritual lives, humble lives before God. The grace of God is a great teacher. It's a powerful force. It can take a sinner like John Newton and turn him into a minister. It can take a rowdy teenager like myself and turn him into a pastor. I want you to dwell on the grace of God for a moment and think about the times in your life when God's been trying to touch that edge of your life. And don't let that root of bitterness spring up. I want to ask you right now for the part of your life where you feel like you need more grace. Maybe the children are driving you crazy. Your spouse is driving you crazy. Maybe there's the beginning of a disillusionment, a bitter root. I want you to come, and those of you who can, some of you have the medical reasons for not kneeling, but for those of you who can kneel, I want you to join me at this altar today. This is more important than anything else that happened today. It culminates with this. I'm going to make a decision to let the grace touch me again. I'm going to let God work in my life. I'm going to show up at the gym. I'm going to show up if God wants to make me a better person. I want God's grace. I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss the grace of God. I want you to come and kneel at this altar. This is going to be a life-changing moment for someone today. I have a very strong impression. This is a defining moment. You're going to look back and recognize June 30th, 2019 was the day I got it real. I got real. The day I gave it all to God. The day I let go of that last piece that I've been holding on to, keeping back from God, my will, my stubbornness, whatever it is. I humbled myself on June 30th, 2019. Hallelujah. And my life has never been the same. Hallelujah. And my life has never been the same. Please, I want you to pray. Just deal with it right now. Just take a few moments. We're going to just take 2 or 3 minutes. Deal with it. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Just talk to Him about what's going on in your life. Hallelujah. Lord, I give this problem to You. I give this burden, Lord. It seems like a mountain, but today I recognize there's grace. There's grace available, and I want to work with it. I don't want to ignore the grace. I don't want to waste the grace. I just saw a picture of that woman, 12 years, suffering. Listen, friend, God's got you on His radar. He's reading your mail this morning. 12 years hemorrhaging, losing blood, paying monies to doctors. Nobody could help her. But in that moment of grace, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. The Bible says virtue went from His body into her body. Hallelujah. His blood touched her blood. Hallelujah. Would you let His blood cleanse you this morning? Would you let Him touch you this morning? Would you reach out to Jesus right now? No matter how big that obstacle, how stubborn that thing is, God is greater. God is greater. He's pleading with you today. He's pleading with you to let it go. Hallelujah. Let it go. Hallelujah. 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 Forgive whoever you need to forgive. And learn from the grace of God. Hallelujah. Don't go back to the same mistakes.
If you felt something in your heart this morning, just thank God. Because that means His Spirit is still moving in your life. Thank You, Lord, that You still speak to us. You're like a good Father. And I pray, Lord, for those that have felt hard, even through this message. I don't know why I'm saying this, but if your heart has felt hard, break through with the Lord. Break through with the Lord, because He wants to bestow grace on your life. He wants to heal those areas. He wants to heal the wounds, but He's also calling you higher. Hallelujah. Lord, tear down the walls in our lives. Tear down the walls that even from pain we may have erected, but God, You are greater than the pain we've been through, Lord. You're greater than the hurts we've been through. You are greater than the sorrows. You have a good plan and a good future. And today we choose to let You work like a good trainer and tear down the walls of resistance to God. Hallelujah. We say no to the enemy and yes to God. And we thank You for grace for a redo. I thank You, Lord. I thank You for grace that allows me to redo those areas of my life that You're still working on. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace is sufficient. And we just pray that we would leave this building changed. And I just want to say, if you didn't feel anything, don't be frightened, but be serious with God. And say, Lord, I want to touch Your presence once again. I want You to be able to move in my heart. I want You to be able to speak to me. Even if it's discipline, I trust You, Lord, because I know You're working something good. And I assure you, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to His purpose. And Lord, bless us as we go out into the mission field. May Your anointing rest upon us and go through us and touch lives through us. Touch our families, Lord. And as we take this picture, we pray for this church that's to be erected in Kenya. Bless this church, Lord. Oh, Lord, I love this church. Lord, thank You for the privilege of partnering with You in Kenya, Lord. Bless this church, Lord. May many thousands of lives be touched through it, Lord. Lord, may many leaders rise up there and touch all of Kenya and Africa and beyond, Lord. Even come back here to the United States to touch us, Lord. We need You, Lord. Bless this church, Lord. And bless Catalyst. May we be able to build many churches. May we be able to build many churches for Your honor and glory, Lord. Raise up many leaders and men and women full of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. God bless you.